Log Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lee and Keys, Real Talk. Wait a second, that might got cut off. Hold up, ready, look. Yeah, okay, it's Lee and Keys, Real Talk. It almost seemed like I was before. You know what I mean? It almost sounded like I was before the start, or the start was before me or something. It didn't sound right, but either way, you know, it's Lee and Keys, Real Talk. You already know that. And we out here. What up, Lee? How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, oh, good, bro, man. Good to be up here. We got a lot to talk about, man. A lot of news that dropped since the last time we had a show. So it should be a fun one.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I just want to jump right into it. I'm not even trying to take long in the intro. I just want to kick it right off because, you know, between, you know, we had a month off of, you know, UFC, we had the drought. Then we're coming back around this weekend's main event is a banger, Calvin Kattar, you know, Massachusetts boy, fighting Giga in the main event. So we got that one. Next weekend we got Ngannou and Gane for the heavyweight title. Probably the most, weakly promoted, probably the weakest promotion for a UFC fight that I've ever seen. But that's neither here nor there. We'll get to that. And then you have Masvidal Covington got announced. You got my boy Volcano and Korean Zombie basically got announced. We'll talk about that a little bit. You got Kevin Holland fighting Cowboy Oliveira. That got announced. We'll probably touch on that at some stage. Tisha Torres versus Mackenzie Dern got announced. That's another banger. Oh, my goodness. Man, did I get to all the fights? I feel like I could be missing some still.
Kobe Covington, Masvidal.
Oh, yeah, I named that one. Oh, yeah, you also got Dustin Poirier and Nate Diaz. That one hasn't been officially announced, but from what I'm reading, it's all but finalized. Like, that one is pretty much right there. That's probably going to get announced, like, probably by this weekend, I would think. And that one's probably going to be on that March 5th card as well, which that's what they're trying to get it for, that March 5th card. And yeah, that March 5th card is looking like absolute banger. I don't even understand how you could have that much star power on one card. It's almost insanity. And you don't even have McGregor. You don't even have, you have Diaz, but it's like you kind of have different stars. It's like kind of nice to see it. And it just makes you think, how would I'm just wondering how that press conference is going to be. You're telling me you're going to have Nate Diaz, Dustin Poirier, Jorge Masvidal, and Colby Covington at the same press conference. Those are pretty much like four guys that are pretty much all traded jabs at one point or another. That's pretty much just like asking for there to be an issue. Having those four guys at the same presser is almost asking for there to be an issue. Wow. That's a classic. I hope we do get that. I know we will. If they book that fight for the March card, 100% we'll get a press conference with those four guys and whoever, probably a few others that they're going to be on that card. That, maybe put Kevin Holland in that press conference too, because he's at 170 now too. So, yeah, he'll probably be right in there talking trash to all them guys too. Man, what a crazy first quarter that UFC is putting together. Unbelievable.
Yeah, man, I know you had asked about it on our last show, what happened to those press conferences. If they get all of them on the same card, you have to do that press conference, because the entertainment value is going to be so over the top and good that you can't miss out on that opportunity, bro. You have to do a press conference for that. I'm looking at it. They really haven't put – I just looked at the schedule for March 5th. The only fight they got up there is Jessica I so far. But if they go heavy on that March 5th card, I like it because, I'm looking at the card for Saturday with the Calvin Kattar, and it's a couple of good fighters on the card, but I don't really see, like – any fights that make me want to, like, jump out my seat, except the main event, maybe, maybe Chukagan and Maya, maybe. I like Court McGee, but yeah, man, it's just yeah, they got to end this court on a high, they got to end this in the court on a high note, and I like they gonna if they do stack that March 5th card, it'd be great. And you had and if you do stack that card, you have to do a press conference.
Yeah, I mean they'll definitely. At the very least, like when I was talking about it last week, I'm talking about, you know, those press conferences of old where you had like, you know, 15 to 20 fighters at one press conference. You literally had, I don't really remember like how they came up with who was there, but if thinking back to like the ones that I'm thinking of, it almost seemed like you probably had like the top six or the top, you know, seven. And maybe it was even like the top five of each division plus the champion and any interim champions. You had of like 145 and 155. I mean, in this case, you would have pretty much all 155ers and 170ers. If you were to do that press conference, you would have Kevin Holland, Alex Oliveira, Nate Diaz, Dustin Poirier, Colby Covington, and Jorge Masvidal. If you have all those guys at a press conference, that's pretty wild right there. That'd be the biggest they've done it in a while. I mean, you don't really see like press conferences where you put people that are like that are gonna talk trash together. You usually see like it's kind of spread out. You might have, you know, they might put like the main event there, and then you put like a couple other, you know, fights, and it's kind of quiet. You know, that's kind of how you see the press conferences these days, but. If you were to put all those guys up there from each of those fights, I think that would be a rowdy press conference. I think that would be it would be a very back and forth press conference from pretty much all of those guys. And I'll say this too. Don't think that, you know, when if you Google it or you look at, you know, whoever you look at, what I'm trying to say, UFC.com, or if you Google it, it's only going to show that one fight, but that's not, I mean, we know this, you know, I was telling my friend the other day, I think it was last night. I was like, yo, don't let them fool you. I was like, that March card is already stacked. I was like, you look it up in this one fight, like that doesn't mean nothing. Like that card is stacked. You have Poirier and Diaz on there, Covington, Masvidal on there. You got Kevin Holland and Cowboy Oliveira. That card is a banger. And that's not even the whole card. That's just, you know, you're probably looking at just the main card right there, you know, those three fights. And I want to say there's one or two other fights that they were talking about for that card. And, damn, that would only be, what, the main card right there? Like, that's incredible. So, but don't let it fool you, though. All those fights are going to get announced. I'm telling you, I think, you know, from the reports I'm seeing, look at Ariel Helwani, like, look at Bokamoto and MMA Island, shout out to MMA Island. You know, those guys are the ones that are breaking news. You know, you want to really, you know, hear about news before it drops. Those are the guys that are going to be breaking the news. So, you know, that's where I like to look. That's where I read. Now, the UFC a lot of times won't even, you know, officially announce a fight until a couple of days after it's actually confirmed. So you can't really wait around for them, because they'll have you waiting a whole week, you know, and the fight will already be official. But either way, that's a banger of a card. How you feel about this weekend's fight, though? We're gonna circle back around to those fights in a little while. But how you feel about this weekend's card? We got my boy Calvin Kattar fighting Giga Chikadze, who's currently on a 7-fight winning streak. How you feel about that fight?
I don't remember seeing Giga fight, but I just looked at his record and I saw two names up there, Cub Swanson and Edson Barboza. Those are the last two guys he beat. I'm really not overwhelmed with Cub Swanson. I think Edson Barboza is a solid win. Calvin Kattar, dude fights with heart. I like his style. This fight is going to be a hard fight for Calvin, because Chikadze, Man, dude is rangy. I want to say he's going to always be coming forward. And I think Cater likes to set his stuff up. So I want to see how it plays out. I want to see if any one of these dudes going to try to take the fight to the mat. I don't think Cater going to try to take the fight to the mat. I don't know about Giga. I really don't remember seeing him fight, man. Takedown average, 0.33. Takedown average, 33%. So that's one in every three. So, yeah, this fight, actually, Cater has, well, yeah, that's one in three, too. So whichever guy can establish, can apply pressure to the other guy, then that guy is going to be the one to come out on top, man. So should be a great fight. I want to pick Cater, but I think Giga probably pulls it out slimly. Very, very slim.
Yeah, I mean, I'll come out and say I don't really remember watching Chikadze fight before. I don't think I've seen a fight of his. I remember seeing – I had to look at his Sure Dog to remember that he fought Edson Barboza last August, and I don't even remember that fight, to be honest with you. So I can't say that I've seen him fight before, but, I mean, looking at his numbers – you know, 7-fight win streak. This dude, I want to say, just based off of what I heard, it sounds like he's a kickboxer. It sounds like he would have a kickboxing background based off, you know, what I've heard about his fighting style. You know, he might be a kickboxer or maybe taekwondo fighter, but, you know, Calvin Cater loves to box. I think this fight will probably be, you know, you'll see, you know, a stand-up first round. You know, Giga's not going to try to take this fight to the ground. You know, I'm going to just go off my instinct. I feel like Giga is very confident, you know, in his stand-up. And, you know, he's confident in winning this fight by stand-up and winning, frankly, every fight by stand-up. I don't think he feels the need to Cater down. I don't think he's going to feel threatened enough by Cater's stand-up to want to take him down, you know. And he's confident enough in his own abilities to not have to take him down. Judging by, you know, I watched a few minutes from his conference at Media Day earlier today while I was working. I was listening to a few minutes of that, listening to him talk, and yeah, he seems like a cool guy. You know, probably a guy that I'll start to follow. I like his attitude. You could tell he's confident in himself. He has a good amount of belief in himself. He was saying at the presser that trash talk will probably come soon from him. But, yeah, I like that he seems to have a good amount of belief in himself. And I know Cater has a lot of belief in himself as well. But this is one of those fights that I think it would be better if Cater would have tried to take Giga down. I think that would be his route to victory here. I don't think this is a guy that you want to, you know, encourage a stand-up fight with. I don't think that's a good thing for anybody. I mean, it's, Giga, looking at his record on Sure Dog, like, he's only ever lost 2 fights in his career. Obviously, he doesn't have as many fights. You know, Cater is a much more experienced fighter. You know, I believe Cater has a significantly better resume. You know, he's fought in the higher level guys. But I just think, after that last one with Holloway, you know, he took a lot of punishment in that fight. I don't know. I think this is a tough fight to go into after fighting Holloway. I don't know if this was the fight to take for Cater. I don't really like this fight for him, honestly. This is a tough one to go into after that last one. And I think if his route to victory here is to take Giga down, and I think that's got to be it. I think if he goes into the stand up, I think he's gonna lose, honestly. I'm trying to be non-biased, you know, based on the fact that he's, like, a local guy. And, like, I know people that know Calvin Cater. Like, that's the crazy part, like, in real life. So, but I'm trying to be non-biased to that. Because usually I root for my guys from Mass, but I'm trying to be objective with this. And just going off my instinct, I feel like his route to victory is via wrestling. I think if he encourages the stand-up with Giga, you know, he will lose in the stand-up. I think that's kind of the way I'm seeing this fight going. Giga's only ever lost by once by submission and once by decision. He's never been finished via knockout. So that's going to be a tough one for Cater, I think.
But you know what, Cater, am I thinking Cater or am I thinking your other guy, Rob Font? But Cater has power, right? He has good punching skills, right?
He does.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think if he come out and he hit Giga with a nice shot, he might back Giga up. But it has to be a nice shot. And normally when you get somebody with a nice shot, you might get a nice shot in return. So I'm with you. And every fight is a puncher's chance. But I think Cater has to come out and put something in Giga's mind to make him think. And maybe if he was to land an early takedown, that'll get Giga to thinking more than fighting. So I do like where you're going at with that, bro.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I do just, you know, it's been tough for me too because, and it's been tough for Massachusetts fighters. The past, you know, we're 0-3, you know, in our last three fights right now. I mean, off top, when you look at, you know, the guys that come to mind, you know, fighters that I've, you know, grown to like through what I've seen of them in the UFC, and they're from, you know, my local area. You know, all three of these guys live within, you know, 45 minutes of where I'm from, and it's pretty crazy. You know, Calvin Cater, Rob Font, and Randy Costa. Randy Costa, he fights, I want to say, bantamweight. I think he's a bantamweight, and he just got knocked out, or yeah, I think he might have got lost by TKO on one of the last few cards. Yeah, Randy Costa, he's another prospect, but he's been going through a rough patch. I want to say he lost his last two. Yeah, I want to say Randy Costa lost his last two, and Cater lost to Holloway, and Rob Font just got pretty much dominated by Aldo, you know, on the mat. So we're pretty much 0-4 in our last four, it's a rough patch right now for the Massachusetts fighters. I'll tell you that for free.
Well, you know, man, setting it up for the great comeback, dog. So, you know, it's like what me and you always say. When you go into a fight, sometimes your plan A might not work. What else do you have to go to? You know, you got to be able to have a plan B and maybe even a plan C. And some of these fighters, when they plan A don't work, they have nothing else to fall back on, bro. And you know, and it's kind of sad because I think we're in the age now where everybody know well-rounded fighters tend to be the best fighters. And the one-trick ponies seem to be falling to the side. So I want to see Cater show me something different Saturday. I want to see him do something different Saturday. Let's see what he's been working on.
Yeah. You know, hopefully that year, you know, this past year he took off. You know, he was able to gain some more skills and, you know, really heal up. You know, he took a lot of punishment in that Max Holloway fight. So hopefully, you know, I'd love to see him come back strong. I'd love to see him win. You know what I mean? But I'm probably going with you know, with Giga Chikadze for this to win this fight. You know, moving on from that though, you know, which one of these fights you want to get? Actually, you know what? Scratch that. I'm just gonna come out and say I said it. You know, in my intro, my very short intro, I said it, and I want to say it again because y'all need to hear this. I know probably a lot of people are thinking it, this heavyweight fight next weekend, do you know how many people out there don't even know there's a heavyweight title fight next weekend? A lot of people. A lot of people have no idea that there is a UFC heavyweight title fight next weekend. Usually when you have that, it's a big deal. You know what I'm saying? But this has been probably the most ill-promoted UFC heavyweight title fight in a long time. I don't even remember a time where there was a fight that just got such a lack of promotion. This is bad. Like, I'm not even excited for the bout. I'm really not even excited because there's been no push for this fight. Like, I've heard more about this fight from Chael Sonnen's YouTube channel and Michael Bisping's YouTube channel. Them two have pretty much done all the promotion for the fight. And that's not their job to do it. But they have literally talked about this fight way more than the UFC has. They have promoted it way more than UFC has. The UFC doesn't even, you don't even see, I don't even know, is there commercials on ESPN? Like, I don't see ads for this fight. I'm on UFC 4. I don't see any little, you know, promotional ads for the fight. You don't see anything anywhere on Twitter, UFC Twitter. You don't see anything there. I don't see anyone talking about it. I don't think the UFC even knows this fight is happening. I think Dana White might have forgot that this fight is happening. What do you think, bro?
Man, I think the little back and forth we had on Twitter probably gave this fight the most promotion they had since they announced it. But that being said, though, Keys, I think that this is the UFC way of trying to get back at Francis Ngannou, man. Ngannou basically took him and John Jones basically partnered up to say that the UFC was lowballing them on their fight. And I think that the UFC is punishing him. And with this being his last fight, I think, on his contract, I think they're going to try to use the low pay-per-view numbers as a negotiating tool. So, bro, it's just dirty pool by the UFC. But I look at it like this. If I'm Francis, I'm coming in there, focused. I'm coming in there, and I'm going to knock Gaines' head off his shoulders. And when I go to a new promotion, whether it's Bellator, ONE, who cares where he go at? I'm going to have that UFC belt on my shoulders. I'm taking their heavyweight belt with me to the next promotion. And we had never seen a champion do that before in the UFC. Remember, DJ left to go to ONE, but Cejudo was the champ. Eddie Alvarez left to go to ONE, but Conor was the champ. Cyborg left to go to Bellator, but Nunes was the champ. So we've never had a reigning champion lead the UFC and go to another organization with the title strapped around his waist. So I think we might see that for the first time with Francis Ngannou. And I'm not even mad about it because they have disrespected the man. How you going to have an interim championship, an interim heavyweight title fight, and this guy just won the belt? It's like, how disrespectful is that, man? So, hey, I was going for Gane because I feel like he's the better fighter. But for petty reasons, I want Francis to win.
I mean, I was just looking up when Ngannou versus Stipe 2 was. That was UFC 260, so that was exactly 10 pay-per-views before this one next week. It looks like that was in March 2021. And
so just under a year.
Yeah, just under a year. But I'm saying, like, in relation to the interim title fight, they booked that. That was in August of 2021. So that was 5 months later. So pretty much they wanted Ngannou to fight back-to-back is what that sounds like to me. I mean, if he wins the bout in March, they pretty much wanted him to get out of that and then, you know, maybe take a month off and go, you know, month
back
or two off and go, yeah, basically take off a month or two. If he even has time, you know, there might have been a lot of media. I don't know what, you know, he might have to do, but let's just say he had time, take a month or two off and then go, you know, then fly back out, go right back into training camp for, you know, your first title defense. And you don't often see that happen, you know, where the champion is like, we need you to fight immediately. And then they kind of like rushed into an interim title fight, which we kind of ended up seeing a mismatch of a title fight. And now it's like the UFC and Derek Lewis a little bit, and I want to say Ariel Helwani a little bit. Like, I've been listening to a lot of these shows more often lately, and I just hear this narrative of, I guess Derek Lewis said that, like, fighting in front of his home, you know, having a home game, fighting in front of his people in Houston, like, was actually, did the reverse for him. It was actually worse. Like, he felt like there was too much pressure, and that, you know, that he wasn't, you know, he was mentally off that night or something like this. And I just want to say that y'all got to stop it with all these excuses, man. Like, it's really old. Like, there's always some excuse. Every time somebody loses, you know, and someone that y'all like, you want to make an excuse. You know, just the other week, y'all were making excuses, you know, for why Nunes lost to Pena. Like, can we just accept that people can lose? Like, the UFC is the top level. Like, we all like to say, the UFC is the top level. These are the best guys and the best girls, you know, in the sport, in the world. But then once your favorite loses, it's not that. All of a sudden you're saying, oh, no, well, you know, their foot was broken, or, you know, they were having they had anxiety going into the fight, or, you know, they were fighting at home and, you know, their family was watching. Or, man, get on with that shit, man. Please, get on with that. Please. Derek Lewis lost. That's just it. I really don't care, and it's just, y'all got to stop with the excuses, okay? Because this is what happened. Gain is a much better fighter than Derek Lewis. That's what happened, okay? So even Derek Lewis, on his best night, would have a very difficult time defeating Ciryl Gane. That is just true. I really believe that. On his best night, he would have a very difficult time beating a fighter like that. Ciryl Gane pretty much does the exact opposite of what Derek Lewis does. Derek Lewis he fights pretty much flat-footed. Ciryl Gane is always moving. You know what I'm saying? Derek Lewis is pretty much, he doesn't do too much movement. He's a pretty slow-moving fighter in the octagon. Ciryl Gane's complete opposite. He's always moving. You know, his head movement is excellent. He's a very elusive heavyweight. He's almost like Wonder Boy if he was at heavyweight. He has, like, the style of Wonder Boy at heavyweight. It's pretty remarkable. But a guy that has that kind of resume and has those types of skills is going to be a tough fight for Derek Lewis with the way that he is. So I'm not trying to be a Derek Lewis hater, but y'all just got to keep it 100. Like, the excuses are too much. Just because your favorite lost doesn't mean that you got to say they had a bad night. What if they just got beat? People can lose any day. We just saw, you know, Ngannou knocked out Stipe Miocic. It happens. You know, I never came out and said, oh, well, Stipe, you know, whatever. Yeah, okay. One thing, Stipe, you know, came in, you know, lighter for the fight. No, I think Stipe should have came in a little heavier. But I never made excuses and said, oh, you know, Stipe, you know, it's a bad night. No one said that. No, I did not say that. I never said that. You know, props to Ngannou. I'm pretty sure I gave props to Ngannou. I said, you know, he's a heavyweight champion. Respect to him. That's what you should do. Instead of just making excuses, you should say props to the winner. They were the better fighter, you know, that night. And congratulations. You know, we'll go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I got to piggyback on what you said about Gane and Lewis. I think people, if they're not familiar with Cyril Gane, they don't realize how athletic the guy is. Cyril Gane is probably the most athletic heavyweight in the heavyweight division. I'll probably say him and John Jones, 1A and 1B. I don't care how you stack it. You can say Jones, you can say Gane. You can say Gane, you can say Jones. But Cyril Gane is really, really athletic. And if you watch that fight against Derrick Lewis could hardly find him. He was bouncing on his feet. He was moving around. The guy just was phenomenal that night. I don't think there's anything Derrick Lewis could have done that night except maybe get lucky and catch him, because anything outside of that, he was not winning that fight. And I would go as far as to say if they fought 10 times, I say Cyril Gane wins 7 or 8. That's how much confidence I have in him going against Derrick Lewis. You know, and like Keith said, you know, man, fighting in your hometown, you know, it does bring some extra, you know, pressure or whatever. But I don't buy into that. I just think anything outside of 2-3 rounds, Lewis just ain't going to get it done. He's not built for long fights. He's just not built for it. That's not him. He's normally getting gas probably mid-second round, going into the third round, if you watch his fights. So I'm not buying it. But I just want to see what Cyril Gane does against Francis Ngannou to negate Ngannou's power. Because that's all he has to do is find a way not to get hit, and I don't think Ngannou has a plan B. But before you go, Keys, we did forget about two more fights that were announced. You may have said it. I might have missed it. Blachowicz versus Rockets and the return of Bobby Whittaker going against Israel Adesanya.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's run through both of those right now, and then we can get to we'll run through both of those, and then we'll probably jump into or finish with Jorge Masvidal versus Colby Covington. But because there's even other fights that, you know, that we'll have to talk about next week. We'll probably have to, you know, talk about a couple fights and then get into predictions. But yeah, you think that? So this is what I'm going to ask you about that. You think that fight for Blachowicz is, with the way that he lost to Glover Teixeira, I'm not just going to ask you for your prediction. I'm just going to ask you about this angle. So given the way that he lost to Glover Teixeira, he really, that was bad. You know, he really was losing the striking exchanges. It was very clear, you know, that from the opening bell, he was losing the fight. Like, he didn't look good at any point. And it was a short fight, but, you know, just in the exchanges they did have, Blachowicz, he didn't look good that night. And with the way that he lost, would you say that if he wins this fight and beats Rakic, that he is back there to either rematch Glover or fight whoever is the champ at that time? Or is he two fights out from fighting for the belt because of the fashion in which he lost? And he only had about one title defense.
I think this is an unpopular going to be an unpopular take, but me, I would look at the rankings and see what the rankings look like, because basically Blachowicz to beat, I want to say, most of the guys in the top five except Glover. So I think Prashaka is going to get the title shot against Glover, and I like that Blachowicz is getting in there with a top guy in Rockets. So I'm looking at Blachowicz and Rockets as a title eliminator. So, yeah, I think the winner of that fight gets the title shot. And I'm really not mad about that because when I look at who Blachowicz has beat, he's beat a lot of top guys. So you ain't going to have none of them guys jump him. Now, if Rockets was to win, then, of course, he should be in line for the title shot against Glover. So, but on with you, Blachowicz just didn't look good, man. I don't know what it was that night, why he looked that way, but I was shocked the way Glover came out. Glover came out with the attitude of, I'm taking this fight to you. I'm going out on my sword. And I liked it. Because I think when he fought John Jones, he came in there tentative. He let John dictate the pace of the fight. And I think that served him wrong. So, hats off to Glover for an outstanding performance. So, I want to see what Blachowicz looked like coming off of this loss. Going against a really, really tough opponent.
Yeah, me too. I'm interested to see. I mean, Rocek has had some pretty lackluster fights here recently. So, you know, I think this one will you know, bring him back to that, you know, that place, you know, that place of, okay, this guy does put on fun fights. I think it will be a fun fight either way. And, yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see if, you know, Blachowicz can, you know, figure out the holes in his boxing, you know, what might have went wrong the last fight. I suspect that what might have went wrong in the last fight, and this is something that you might not be surprised by because I think about this kind of stuff. I always said there's the mental warfare, Bald Ferguson, Bald Ortega, and then what happened? Ortega grew his hair out, and then Volkanovski shaved his head bald. And then what happened? He beat Ortega down. See what happened? I tried to tell you about that. I tried to tell you he was trying to do that. He took the power from Bald Ortega. So Volkanovski went Super Saiyan on his ass. That's what happened. Ortega grew his hair back out. I told you. If Ortega grows his hair out, he's going to lose the fight. If he comes in Bald Ortega, he'll have more of a chance. He might be able to win the fight. He might have sunk those chokes. Those chokes might have actually, you know, got him the belt if he stayed bald. But Volkanovski shaved his head and then went Super Saiyan on him. So, that, you know, I always come out with these things, but this is something that I got to say. And I think this is what went wrong with Blachowicz. This is another one of my superstitions. I think this is the exact thing that went wrong with Blachowicz for his Glover fight. We did not see anything about the rope. We didn't see anything about that rope. Remember that rope? He said, Blachowicz says that every time he's leading up to his next fight, he goes to that site. And this is kind of a dark thing, but this is a site of where this particular person committed suicide, and the rope is there.
Yeah, yeah.
Blachowicz says that he goes over and he would touch the rope, you know, when he was coming up to one, you know, when during his fight camp, he goes and he touches the rope. He goes to that site, and it's this ritual of his that he does before fights, right? So now look at this, Glover. You didn't see anything about the rope. Okay, when he was going to fight, I think it was when he was leading up to his title defense versus Adesanya. I think it was that fight. I don't know if he went for the rope. I think he was wearing the rope around his wrist. I think he was wearing it. I don't know if it was during fight week or if it was during the actual fight and he wore it under his gloves, but I think he cut a piece of the rope and then he made it into a wristband and he was wearing it. So the rope was still in effect. And what happened in that fight? He absolutely dominated Adesanya, dominated him in the stand-up and in the wrestling. So that was what that was. And then the first time, we didn't hear anything about the rope. We don't know if he was wearing it or if it was even around or if he even acknowledged it for the Glover fight. He got dominated. Do you think there's any coincidence about that?
Man, sometimes superstitions are good luck charms. people really believe in them. And if that's been something that you do, you should always do it. I know, like for me, when I used to play softball, I always had like a jersey that I liked wearing because I always hit good. I always felt like I hit better in that jersey. Like if that jersey wasn't clean or I couldn't find it, I just knew I wasn't gonna hit good or play good. So sometimes those superstitions, man, and stuff like that, man, they work, man. So, because when you just brought it up, I never even thought about it, that he did say that rope brought him, like, good vibes and stuff like that. So, but, you know, once again, the way Glover was whooping that ass, it could have been a rope, a chain. I don't know whether or not it would have helped McComas that night.
Yeah, no, maybe it wouldn't have. I'm just saying, and like I said, I just got done, you know, on my last segment, you know, saying how people make excuses. I wasn't even trying to use that as an excuse. I was just pointing out that it was interesting that. I'm not even saying, because Glover looked incredible. So it was, and that's what I said. When Glover talks fight, of course I'm disappointed. I'm a fan of him. But I was saying, you know, congratulations to Glover. He looked incredible. You know, that he was a better man that night. It is what it is, right? But I'm just pointing out the fact that it's interesting, right, the coincidence of the first time Bukovic didn't interact with the rope, and we didn't even hear anything about it during the press week. He absolutely gets dominated, right? So that's just something that you could think about. But either way, I think he needs to interact with the rope leading up to the Rockets fight. I think that he needs to go back to it. You interact with the rope or wear it on your wrist or whatever the hell you want to do, however you need to do it, I think you need to go back to it. Just saying. I just think it might be his good luck charm, like you were just saying.
Yeah, man. Hey, sometimes you got to stick with what gets you there. Remember Michael Jordan, they said he wore his UNC shorts under his Chicago Bulls shorts the whole time he played in the NBA. And the shorts that he wore was the ones where he hit the game-winning shot. So, you know, man, they say that was true, but we shall see.
All right, so let's go like this. I'm looking at the clock. 16. We got about 16 minutes left. I say this. Let's go into a speed round. Huh?
We got a lot of time.
Yeah, we got about 16 minutes left, but I got a couple topics in my mind, so I'm thinking about this. How about this? Let's go like ESPN style. We're going to go 5 minutes each topic, right? We're going to hit three topics. And we're gonna do hard stop 5 minutes each one. Ready? We're gonna go Bobby Knuckles and Adesanya 2, you know, 5 minutes. We're gonna go Covington Masvidal 5 minutes, and we're gonna go Volcano and Zombie 5 minutes. Does that sound good?
I'm down.
All right. Feel free to kick it off. Whichever one intrigues you the most, just kick off your take on that one.
All right. I'm going to go with the guy you probably want to talk about the most. I'm going with Israel Adesanya versus Robert Whittaker. I think this is the fight that we all been clamoring for since Whittaker lost the fight to Israel Adesanya. I know in that fight, me and you came back the following week, and I was like, Whittaker just didn't look right. He looked too emotional. He couldn't control his emotions in there. And his striking was amazingly whack that fight. Everything he threw was wide. He was lunging. And he opened himself to be knocked out in that fight. So I think now he probably went back. I know he done watched that fight probably at least three or four times. All he has to do control himself, fight like he's been fighting these last couple fights, put it together, and don't let Israel get in his head, and I think he regains the championship. I'm really not a fan of the way Israel fights because he likes to avoid the give and takes, and I don't think he's going to be able to do that against Robert Whittaker in this fight. I think he's going to have to exchange in this fight. And can his chin hold up?
All right. I mean, that's an interesting point. I mean, I think I'm going to add to that right now and say, you know, Whittaker acknowledged, you know, the Bukovic fight, and, you know, he pointed out that, you know, Bukovic basically showed us the blueprint of how Adesanya can be beaten. And the funny thing is that Bukovic mostly wrestled Adesanya. I mean, the opening exchanges of each round, you had the striking exchanges, but then he was taken down pretty easily. I mean, obviously, Bukovic was a good amount bigger. I want to say Adesanya came in at like 190-something pounds. So he had like 20 pounds, you know, underweight. But, you know, I think Whittaker can mix up. I think if he can get away from fighting emotional and mix his – go with his recent style, like pretty much fight the way you fought Cannonier. You know, fight the way – what was the other fight? Not the Darren Till fight. There was the other one. Was it Paulo Costa? Who did he fight?
I'm about to look it up now.
Cannonier.
Well, keep going.
There was the other one, though. Not the Till fight, but there was a Cannonier fight, and then there was the other guy that he fought. I like the way he fought both of those fights. And I think if he could bring that style to Adesanya and not just, you know, have like this, you know, boxing style of swinging wildly and getting caught like he did the last time, come in composed, you know, use your wrestling and your boxing, mix it up. You know, similar style to, you know, the way he was versus in the Yoel Romero fight. You know, kind of bring that style back. I think if you mix that with the way he fought against Cannonier, I think he gets the belt back. I don't think Adesanya is going to be able to deal with somebody that comes with that kind of style. I mean, you saw the way it was when he fought Kelvin Gastelum, and Gastelum wasn't even landing takedowns, but he was shooting. He was almost attempting a takedown, but it ended up being like almost just a way of Gastelum clinching Adesanya against the cage and just kind of holding, you know, putting his weight on him. And you saw the way that wore on Adesanya. I think if Whittaker can bring that style, he can get his belt back. It's a great
fight.
Yeah,
he beat Darren Till, Cannonier, and Gastelum. But I think his best fight was the Cannonier fight out of those three. He totally dominated Cannonier, which is a guy that has hands, is actually pretty athletic also, and he dominated him. But me and you both know what Whittaker can do when he comes in focused and he sticks to his game plan. If I was picking this fight today, I would say Bobby Whittaker knocks out Israel Adesanya in the second round.
You say knock out Whittaker in the second round?
No, I say Whittaker knocks out Adesanya in the second round.
All right. So we'll touch more on that fight pretty soon, but we're going to jump into which one you want to do. You want to do Volcano and Zombie, or you want to go Masvidal and Covington? We're going to do both, but which one you want to hit first?
We should do Volcano and Zombie because I just think me and you are both going to agree on this fight, but I'll let you kick it off. So what's your thoughts on Volk versus Zombie?
Yeah, so to me, I mean, it's definitely a fun fight. I just kind of feel like this is a little bit of a mismatch. I don't really think – I think the thing is this, is that the level of, like, disregard for, like, Volkanovski's level at this point, it doesn't even really make sense. I mean, I get it, like, the hardcore Holloway fans. Like, I'm a big Holloway fan myself, but, like, some of y'all seem like that you're your fans to the point that you just don't regard, like, that Volkanovski can fight, man. He's a great fighter. Like, I know that's hard to hear, but he's a great fighter, and he just keeps, like, people don't like to say or predict him to win. And then you go on Twitter and you see all these people saying, you know, TKZ and new, you know, 2023. And it's like, what path do you see him winning in this fight? Like, what path do you see Korean Zombie winning in this fight? I'm really interested to know that. Where does he beat Volkanovski? I just don't even understand where that take comes from. I have almost no faith in Zombie to win the fight. I have almost no faith at all. Like, it's, most guys have a puncher's chance. I don't even know if I would say he has a puncher's chance to me. Like, I don't even think he has a puncher's chance. And I like Zombie, but I just really think Volkanovski is just levels above him, man. Levels above him. And it's in more than one area. And I just, especially the way he's been, Volkanovski's been, you know, his boxing's been great lately. He's been mixing in the kicks. This dude has been excellent, man. He's been excellent. He's got a lot of heart, too. I just don't know how y'all have the Korean Zombie beating him. I don't see it at all. I think it's an okay fight. I would have liked to see, what was the fight I'd like to see? I would have liked to see them wait for the winner of this weekend's fight. And then, you know, maybe since Giga's on a 7-fight win streak, maybe if Giga wins, let him fill in and fight Volkanovski for the belt. 7-fight win streak, you know, I think that would have been cool to have. You know, that gives him like 6 weeks to prepare for the fight if he wants it. I bet you he would take it with the way that he is too. I think that was my first pick for it. Or either way it goes, even if Cater wins, let Cater fight. You know, either way, I just wanted the winner of that fight. Yeah, so I think it's kind of a mismatch.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. I know why the UFC went with Zombie, but at the same time, it's like I would have waited, because if you look at the top five, you got Holloway, Ortega, Yair, Zombie, and it was somebody else, maybe Cater or maybe Giga, one of those guys. I would have waited. I don't think Zombie has a chance of beating Volkanovski. But one thing about Zombie is he do put on entertaining fights. So we'll see how long he can be entertaining against the likes of Volkanovski. But a lot of people had heat with Volkanovski, Keys, because a lot of Holloway fans feel Holloway won that second fight. I'm a Holloway fan. I feel like he won that second fight. I feel like he was robbed in that second fight. But at the same time, you can't blame Volkanovski for what the judges, you know, what their scorecard said. You have to just roll with the punches. But once again, like, man, if people could only be privy to our text messages that me and you exchange sometimes, what happened to this division? This division used to be good. This division is so weak now that it's just weak, bro. I mean, there's no other way around it, and that's why Zombie's getting a title shot.
Yeah, the division, the 145 division is really falling off. I mean, we'll definitely touch on that more pretty soon. But, you know, you've had the same, like, three guys basically fighting for the past, you know, 4 years at the top of that division. That's because you pretty much have, you know, no rising contenders. But I think that's a reason why a lot of people are excited about Giga Chikadze, is because you finally have someone who looks like, you know, at least looks like at this point in time, that he could rise up and be, you know, another title contender. But let's jump into the last fight we'll break down for the show. I figure we finish off with this one. This is a banger. You know, I've been waiting for this fight. I really didn't think they would ever even get to make this fight, because it just kind of seemed like it was all talk, and they really, you know, it was hard to tell if they really wanted to make the fight or they didn't. So, you know, Jorge Masvidal versus Colby Covington, this fight is booked for that March 5th card. That card's going to be a banger. What do you think about that fight, bro?
Oh, man, I was kind of shocked that they actually got this, that they actually signed this fight. I'm actually shocked. I thought it was all talk, but, you know, we get these two dudes finally in the octagon, and it's going to be 5 rounds, and it's going to be, what, a main event? So, but just like I tweeted, I think the winner becomes relevant. I think the loser goes to pro wrestling. So, the loser either goes to, if it's Masvidal, he goes to AEW, and I think Colby Covington goes to, WWE. So, that's where we at, bro. It's kind of crazy that this fight is what we want to say, Keys, what, 3 years late? I think Kobe and Mobs have all been having beef for about 3 years. So, but I guess better late than never. Both of them are basically kind of afterthoughts after losing to Usman, the way they lost to Usman. So, I'm cool with it, man. I like the fight. I don't know who I would pick today. I just don't know. What's your thoughts?
I mean, yeah, that one's been brewing since around 2019. You know, I kind of still believe what you said, you know, back then, and you said it many times, that those guys are actually still friends, and they pretty much fabricated this beef so they could build up to this big fight, which clearly they did that well, because it looks like they're going to be possibly the main event on that card, and it's going to be a big pay-per-view. It's going to sell a lot of pay-per-views. They'll both make a lot of money. So, you know, it'll have been a job well done. But I believe what you said. I think they're still friends, and they just, you know, fabricated a beef to build up to this massive fight, and they've done that. You know, why not help out, you know, one of your best friends and both make a, you know, quick million in the UFC, you know what I mean, plus pay-per-view points, you know? And I think, you know, if I had a pick today, I'd go with Colby Covington to pretty much dominate that fight. I'd probably go Covington, unanimous decision, and a pretty clear victory. I think Covington would just outpace him and outwork him, you know, overall just outlast Masvidal. And, you know, I think he'd get Masvidal tired. I think he probably even looked to take him down a couple of times. You probably see him take him down a couple of times. And I think that, you know, that'll have Masvidal even more worn out. And then you'll just start to see the difference in cardio. And we know Colby Covington's basically a cardio machine. So I might even say unanimous decision or a fourth or fifth round TKO for Covington. You know what I'm saying? I might even say like a fifth round TKO for Covington if I had to pick today. You know, over an exhausted Masvidal at that point in the fight, you know, really like drag him into the deep, deep waters, you know what I mean? But still kind of make it entertaining. That's probably the way I'd go with it. It's a cool fight. I'm glad it's finally getting made. And I'm definitely looking forward to that press conference.
Yeah, man. I think they really got beef though, dog. I think they were trainer partners. I think they were friends. But I think Jorge probably, like most people, when Colby started being his gimmick or being this guy that America loves to hate, I think that probably rubbed Jorge the wrong way. And I think they aren't friends. I think it's going to add a little bit more spice to their fight. And just like you, if I was to pick this fight today, If it's not over by the second round, there's no way Masvidal wins this fight. He has to get in there and get it over with, because the longer it goes on, I think the worse it gets for him. So, yeah, man, I think Kobe's cardio and his pace might wear Masvidal down. So, But you never know, man. Will Masvidal come out there with a flying kick or something to start the fight? You know, so I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, man. But anyways, you know, there's even more fights we'll have to get to the next time. I mean, next week we'll probably be talking about a couple of these fights that we still have. You still got the Tisha Torres and Mackenzie Dern fight, which is another absolute banger. You got a couple other fights there that we'll be talking about. I'm sure Nate Diaz and Dustin Poirier will have been announced by the time we're on our next show. So we'll probably be talking about that as well. It looks like that's going to be at 170. And yeah, we'll probably be doing our predictions for the UFC 270 and Ngannou and Gane. So yeah, we'll see y'all next week. You know, thank you everybody for listening. Shout out to our guys at Prediction Strike. They responded to us on Twitter. Prediction Strike is basically like the stock market, but for sports and now UFC fighters. You can buy stock in, you know, your favorite NFL and other sports athletes, as well as your favorite UFC fighters. That's a pretty dope concept that they've come up with over there. To me, it's the first that I've seen, you know, of that done. That's the first I've seen that done. So that's pretty amazing. So shout out to y'all. They actually sent us a promo code and everything. So that was pretty cool. So shout out to Prediction Strike. And, yeah, thank y'all for listening. Appreciate y'all. Lee, the floor is yours.
Yeah, man. I still haven't came out with a closing saying yet. You know, I guess work hard, play hard. I don't like that. I'll come up with something, but hey, everybody take care of yourselves. I want to dedicate this show to my son, Dominique. He's been having a tough go of it with life here lately. But like I told him today, I was like, hey, man, nobody ever said life is easy. You got to take the ups and the downs. And you don't let the downs keep you down. You just keep getting up and you keep on fighting. So to my son, Dominique, I love you. Keep your head up. To everybody out there supporting Lee and Keys, thank you so very much. We appreciate it. Y'all make us be better, make us do better. So everybody have a great evening. Have a great weekend. Hey, enjoy yourselves. And as always, and take care of yourselves. And as always, we always end the show with a peace.